Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
The Daily Witness is not just a podcast, but originally started as a gospel newspaper. Trevor Van Vieren Ministries distributes this newspaper free of charge, paid for by partners and friends. If you have not received a copy of this newspaper in your mailbox, feel free to download a copy from our website, www.thedailywitness.co.za. And now, enjoy today's podcast.
Before we jump into today's message, have you been enjoying these podcast episodes from The Daily Witness? Would you like more? Consider subscribing to The Daily Witness on YouTube for video content and for our Wednesday evening live streams, which takes place at 6:30. We also stream from the Telegram app at the same time. For word, quotes, ministry updates and more, follow us on social media. The Daily Witness is on X, Instagram and Threads. Faith is what connects us to the Father. So remember, faith comes by hearing. So keep on hearing.
The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6 verse 6, "Let him that receives instruction in the word of God share all good things with his teacher, contributing to his support." Trevor Van Vieren Ministries now has Yoko as a payment portal for safe and secure transactions, both for national and international givers. So if you'd like to tithe into this ministry, or you'd like to sow a financial seed, head on over to our website www.thedailywitness.co.za and click on the Giving tab. All contributions that are received goes into furthering the gospel by reaching the lost and training people to live by faith.
All right, so as always, we open up in a word of prayer. And I've already prayed about this message for a few days, and specifically prayed about this meeting for tonight. So, Father, we're just so grateful and so honored to be your children. It's so awesome that we have you as a father. You're just an amazing dad. You just go out and over beyond. And Lord, one thing that is important to you is our growth, because there's a way that we should grow. And the growth, it contributes towards being established, and it contributes towards great strength and great faith and confidence in you as a dad. And so, as always, I can't preach without your help. But I thank you that I'm never short of your help. And so I pray for Megan and myself tonight that we are vessels of honor. I pray that you think through our minds and speak through our vocal cords. And I pray for the listeners, Lord, help them. Help them. Help them see what you are saying through us. And Lord, all the glory goes to you. All the glory belongs to you. You absolutely deserve it. I pray none of us. And I pray all of you. Thank you for being a blessing. Thank you for being the best dad in the whole wide world and the universe. We appreciate that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Can I say something before you start?
Yeah, sure.
So I'm sure that there are some of you who have questions. You're looking for direction, answers to certain things. Believe with us tonight that this message holds your answer.
Yeah.
It holds your instruction. It holds direction for you.
Yeah. Okay. So this is how it started. I was saying to the Lord, as you guys know, we don't just thumb suck and, you know, pick a random message. We don't open up our Bibles and see where it lands and say, here's the topic for next week's message.
No.
We don't listen to random messages from other ministers and say, this is a fairly good topic. I think I will run with that.
Mm.
Why? We can't do things like that. That's not how you operate in the kingdom of God. You know, there is order in the church, and we've got to get instruction from our Father. And I'll go into that a little bit, and I'll explain a little bit more about that. But I decided I'm going to jump on my bike, and I'm just going to ride, just to be quiet. And I'm going to ask the Lord, what does he want me to preach on? So, you know, the time is drawing near, and I'm busy cycling and just talking to the Lord. And I asked him, Lord, what is it that you want me to preach on Wednesday? And I just kind of let a few moments go by and just kind of hearing out, but I didn't hear anything. So I made the mistake and I asked him again. Now, I thought a good topic would be about patience. Because this ministry, we teach a lot on faith, because faith is the currency of the kingdom.
Yes.
And a lot of people struggle in the area of patience, and patience is a strong victory note for us, the church. So I thought that would be a good topic, but I just had it in my spirit. No, that's not it. So I'm like, okay. So then I thought, you know, another really good topic would be about fellowship with God.
Because it's important.
That's absolutely important.
It makes sense to us. It's important.
Well, you can't have faith in someone you don't actually know.
True.
So fellowship is very, very important. And I just had that witness on the inside of me. No, no, that's not it. That's not it. So I'm going down roads. I'm thinking my route's getting shorter and I'm still waiting for an answer. I said, Lord, what do you want me to preach on Wednesday? And I'm still waiting to hear and so forth. And I said to him again, so Lord, what is it that you would like for me to preach on Wednesday? Because I know it's important to get the message from him.
Yes.
And just like this, I hear him on the inside of me. He said, you know, I heard you the first time. I said, here we go. I said, yes. He said, I heard you. He said, you know what to do. Just say thank you. He said, just be patient and just say thank you. Just say thank you. I said, okay. And so I just carried on cycling and I just said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that message. Thank you for showing me. Thank you. Oh, I just appreciate it so much. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I went on a pretty good while. And then this idea of a message just came up on the inside of me. And he said, I want you to tell them that God has a plan. And I was like, you want me to teach on that? He said, yes. I said, okay. I thought that was so interesting. God has a plan. And I said to him, okay, so obviously this would kind of be an introductory message, you know? So I said, what's the focus? What's the theme of it? If he can give me the theme, I know how we're going to work around this thing. Well, for the rest of that bike trip, he was just giving me information, man. I was just downloading, you know? And as the information was coming in, I was just thinking to myself, oh my goodness, I'm so far away from home. I can't wait to get home so I can, you know, jot everything down. But why is it so important for us to ask him what message we're supposed to preach? And it's because Jesus called God the gardener. This is John chapter 15. Jesus called God the gardener. He called himself the vine, and he called us the branches. Have you ever seen a branch grow successfully all by itself with no vine or no stem, just hanging out there in the air?
No.
No, it's impossible. Without a gardener, There's no one trimming it, and there's no one watering it.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to have an overseer. This is why it's so important.
That's good.
For us to yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit and ask Him, Lord, what message is it that you want me to preach?
Mm.
Because by doing that, if I get the right message from Him, I'm automatically submitting myself under the anointing.
Yes.
And what does the anointing do? We know what it does. It removes burdens.
And destroys yokes.
Thank you. It destroys yokes. Now, I just want to add this because the Holy Ghost actually instructed me to write this. I made a little sticky at the top of my notes. And the Holy Ghost says, you ought to have a notepad and a pen ready. Because if you don't, you're not expecting Him to say anything to you.
Yes.
That notepad and that pen is an act of faith.
Mm, thank you, Jesus.
I never saw that before. That notepad...
You're coming expecting.
That notepad and pen is an act of faith. As I'm talking, you'll hear Him say something, or you'll see something in a new light, or you'll have an idea.
Mm-hmm. Or like I said, you'll get your answer.
100%. So expect Him to talk.
Mm-hmm.
Come expecting. All right. So God has a plan.
Praise God for a plan.
Man, this is so good. And you know, I've been just working on this the whole time and the whole day, yesterday and today. Now, He spoke to me about this topic, God has a plan. You know, God has a plan for your salvation.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a plan for your Holy Ghost baptism. He's got a plan for your future spouse, for those who are single. He's got a plan for your career or your calling.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a plan for your finances, a plan for your children, a plan for where you should live, a plan for the ministry that you should be part of, a plan for your health. He has a plan for your exercise. He has a plan for what you should be eating, etc.
He has a plan for someone who's living in a foreign country and wants to come home.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. He ultimately has a plan for this nation. He has a plan for the church as a whole in South Africa.
Mm.
God has a plan. Now, we have had that idea, a very vague idea, and we've never focused on it. We've never prioritized that plan. And, you know, when it comes to it, people don't see themselves as that important for God to have a plan for them. And then they kind of think that God just has one kind of overall plan and it basically just covers salvation. And if you saved, that's enough.
Yes.
No. God has got a plan for everything.
Mm-hmm.
He's got various plans that cover the bigger plan.
Yes.
But all of it are plans. Now, someone full of fear, when they hear this now, and I've heard this before, that's why I'm talking from experience, they'll say, but that sounds like control.
Yes.
You know, it sounds like an arranged marriage. Well, it is, and it's a good one. Watch this. If you genuinely believe that it sounds like control, then you just inadvertently told all of us that you don't know Him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we do have free will.
Yes. So you choose whether you're going to follow that plan or not.
That's right. You don't have to follow His plan.
Mm-hmm.
You won't go to hell either by not following His plan. But when you play God over your own life, you sure will experience a glimpse of hell here on the earth,
mm-hmm.
in your marriage, with your kids, in your employment, in your business, in your health, etc. That is not God punishing us because we refuse to get His plans.
No.
We're experiencing that out of disobedience. Mm,
that's the circumstances.
Yeah, that's the consequences.
Not following his plan.
And that's merely because we tend to not make the best of decisions. Mm. I mean,
because what our decisions are based on in the flesh.
That's right. Mm. It doesn't matter if you're 30, it doesn't matter if you're 40, it doesn't matter if you're 50, 60, 70 years old, 80 years old. You haven't been around long enough to make the right decision every single time without God's help.
Yes.
Impossible. So, you know, well, let me rephrase this. You can see our proven track record by just looking at the mess that the world is in right now.
Exactly.
And that's what God has to see. We make the final decision here. We have the authority. So what are we seeing? What is God seeing? He's seeing criminals that have far more power than tax-paying citizens.
Yes.
He's seen you can't depend on the police. The divorce rate is at an all-time high. The kids are messed up because they have no clue who they are, so they change their identity every week. The economy is in a mess. You see entire nations are up to their eyeballs in debt. Employment rates are extremely high. Schools are a total mess and degrees are now worthless.
Yeah, that's true.
And ultimately, in one way or another, we, that's you and I, we're responsible for that mess out there. Either by not voting for the right party, not getting involved with the local school board, and not being diligent to pray for the country.
And the words that come out of our mouth cursing everything.
100%. Absolutely 100%. So that right there is our proven track record of the kind of decisions that we make.
Mm.
So it's why God wants to help us when he advises us in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. If you want to go there and just take down these notes and the Holy Ghost, just speak to your heart. And I'm going to read Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. And it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. Now, this is the Holy Ghost talking to us.
Yes.
What's this? He says, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. That word paths is plural. Paths. Why paths with an S? Why? Because he said, acknowledge him in all your ways.
Yeah.
What is he ultimately saying? He's got a plan.
Yes. For every aspect of your
That's
life.
That's it. Acknowledge him in your marriage. Acknowledge him with your spouse. Acknowledge him
in your finances.
In your finances. Acknowledge him
in your health.
In your health.
Mm.
In the food choices.
How you raise your kids.
With your friends.
Yes.
Who am I hanging out with?
Mm-hmm. Very important.
Now, God knows our track record. Okay, we're back to that. But he just wants to help us by being a blessing to us.
Mm.
Don't you think, if you look at this mess that's out there in the world, don't you think we need a little bit of help?
No, we definitely do.
I'd say we need all the help we can get. So you can see that it's not about control. It's all about love.
Mm.
He wants you to experience heaven on earth. And he said that in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 21. He said that we can experience days of heaven here on the earth.
Mm.
Now, let's just flip over to Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. But I'm going to read from the Amplified Classic Version, and I'm going to read from 11 to verse 14.
Mm, thank God. I love when you read further than that.
Because everyone just quotes this.
Yes. And they only quote verse 11.
Yeah. And then that is as far as it goes. Now, they like to say this, and they'll quote the NIV. And I don't have a problem with that because it's a very nice way, the way it says that. It says, for God knows the plans that he has for you, plans to prosper you.
And not to harm
and
you.
And not to harm you and to give you an expected end. And that's all they quote. Mm. Okay? And that's as far as it goes. But, you know, there's a whole lot more to that. And we're going to read that now. For I know the thoughts and plans I have for you. This is God talking, mm-hmm. says the Lord. Thoughts and plans. There's that word. God has a plan.
Yes.
He has a plan. Thoughts and plans for welfare and peace and not for evil. I actually underlined that part. Mm. Because why? Well, a lot of people, when they come into a horrible situation, God gets the blame for it.
Exactly.
Well, God took this person away because he needed another flower in heaven. That's evil.
Yeah.
Don't say that. You know, we're going through a little bit of a rough patch right now. God's trying to teach us something, you know. When last did you eat? Oh, about 2 days ago. But I'm just trusting the Lord. That's evil.
Mm.
See? Someone gets diagnosed with cancer or something like that. Again, God's trying to teach us something. That's evil.
Yeah.
You need to come to terms with that. Yeah, that's not his plan.
You've got to be so careful the way you interpret God.
Yeah.
If you don't know him like a loving father.
Yeah.
That's why he always brings me back to that comparison of God being a dad. And how would you expect your natural father to be? Your natural father will never put sickness on you. Your natural father will do whatever he can to feed you.
Yeah.
Your natural father will always go out. Your parents in general always move heaven and earth to provide for their kids.
100%.
Why do we find it so hard to believe the opposite of God?
Well, from someone that is perfect.
Exactly.
Yeah,
the one who created parents, fatherhood, he created it.
Yeah, that just baffles my mind how people think. But anyway. So I'm going to read that verse again just to help someone. For I know the thoughts and plans I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans for welfare and peace and not for evil. Those are not my thoughts. Those are not my plans for you.
Mm.
Evil is not my plan for you. To give you hope in your final outcome. Now, let's go on reading. Then you will call upon me, and you will come and pray to me, and I will hear and heed you. Then you will seek me, inquire for, and require me as a vital necessity, and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Verse 14. I will be found by you, says the Lord. Doesn't say, you know, I might be found, or I'll see if I'm up to it. He says, I will be found.
Yes.
That's good news.
If you put the effort in to seek him,
you
will find him.
That's good news. He's guaranteeing you that your prayer will be answered. He says, I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will release you from captivity and gather you from all the nations and all the places to which I have driven you, says the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. Now, just that last part, just so that there's no misunderstanding there. When we're reading in the English translation, it says, I caused you to be carried away captive. You must understand, this was translated at a time from Hebrew to English when the Hebrew language did not exist. Okay? And that was only because the children of Israel, God said to them, if you sin, I am forced to allow you to be scattered.
Mm.
There's a permissive verb in the Hebrew language that the people at the time, they did not know.
Mm.
They did not understand that. So we'll have to read that last part again just so you can understand. It says, and all the places to which I have allowed you to be driven, says the Lord, I will bring you back to the place from which I allowed you to be carried away captive. Mm. Okay. So now, let's look at the definition of the word plan. I know it's a very simple word. It's kind of straightforward. But sometimes, some things are so simple that we overlook it.
Yes. That's why I love to study the word.
Absolutely.
If you take a scripture and you sit with the dictionary, specifically the Merriam-Webster dictionary,
yes,
you just break that scripture down and you get the definition of each word, you will literally open that scripture up so much more.
Yeah. You know, when, like you say, it's a form of meditation.
Yes.
That's what it is. You are deliberately focused.
And it's the same with the scripture that you just read now from Jeremiah. If you seek me, the one translation says, when you seek me, you will find me when you seek me with all your heart.
Yeah.
When you put every effort in to find something, you will find it.
I have got this idea, speaking to people and ministering to people, you know, you have this idea that people, when they hear that God has a plan, they don't really take it that serious.
Mm.
It's sort of like, you know, just out there.
Yes.
Blasé.
It's a plan for someone else.
Yeah. I think people don't realize the seriousness of it. A plan. God has a plan.
I think they also don't realize how in love he is with each and every one of us, that he took the time to plan out your life to the finest detail.
Yeah.
Because that's how important
there's a plan.
Yes.
There's a plan. Now watch this. Merriam-Webster, you know, we use that Bible dictionary. It's a classic 1828 Bible dictionary, and you can download it on your phone, both Android and iPhone. They got a few definitions, and the definitions that stood out to me and just really hit the nail on the head. A method of achieving an end. Watch this. A method.
A way.
Yeah. A method of achieving an end. It's not just a case of winging it, in other words.
Yeah. No guessing games.
Yeah. Whatever happens, happens.
Mm.
You know? No. God has a plan.
Well, what's it they say? Que sera, sera.
Yeah. Whatever
will be, will be.
No. That's not a method.
No. That's the world's
That's throwing,
method.
Well, watch this. We just throw caution to the wind. That's what Satan does. Mm. And that's why he's in the mess that he is in today.
If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
Yeah. These are all useless cliches that are not part of the kingdom.
If you throw it out there and it comes back to you, it was always meant to be.
Oh, my goodness. I should have wrote these down. That's good.
Yeah.
But God has a method for you to achieve your end. Watch this. Another definition, number two, a detailed formulation of a program of action.
A detailed formulation?
Of a program of action.
Now look at that, detailed.
Detailed.
Because years ago, you and I used to sit and talk about how God was in
the details.
Details.
Yeah.
Every detail, from what you eat, to what you wear, to what you drive, to the job that you have, to the person that you marry.
100%.
To where you go, the friends that you have, and I could carry on with that.
A detailed formulation of a program of action. So there's a lot of detail in this.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a program, and guess what? It's action.
Yes.
You put it to work.
Because faith without works is dead.
Yeah. In other words, there was actual thought put into this.
Mm.
Now, this is something interesting. As I was busy writing down my notes, the Holy Ghost said, I want you to give an illustration from the TV series that you watched, Persons of Interest. And there's a particular segment that he quoted. So I'm just going to run that through. Now, there was a team in a death or life situation. They were cornered. In the natural, there's no way out.
Mm-hmm.
And this series, Person of Interest, it's all about a machine that a guy has programmed with artificial intelligence. You know, it can sort of figure its way out through various situations. Now, they could communicate with this machine. Now, there were gunmen on the other end of the office, and they were shooting and so forth. And so the machine ran multiple outcomes via its programmed algorithm in a matter of seconds until it came up with the best outcome for each team member.
Mm.
It just played it out and played it out. What's that? That's a plan.
Yes.
What's that? That is a detailed formulation of a program of action. What's that? That is a method of achieving an end.
Mm. And you have to remember, there's always success at the end of God's plan.
Yeah.
Always.
Number three, another illustration or another definition of the word plan is an orderly arrangement of parts of an overall design or objective. For my note takers, I'll just say that again. An orderly arrangement of parts of an overall design or objective. Now, we understand God has a plan. Why aren't people rushing to God to get his plans for their lives? This God who is just outstandingly genius that has a plan, why aren't people rushing to him to get the plan?
Yeah.
The answer is very simple. It's because they don't trust him enough.
Yeah. I was thinking along the lines of pride. People think that they know better.
Yeah. If you'll think that through a little, you'll agree it's true.
Mm. No, definitely.
That's what it ultimately boils down to. You can play out the different scenarios, but it all boils down to that. They don't trust him enough.
Mm.
So how do we change that? Because that can be changed.
Yes, it can.
The answer is very simple. How do you build up trust to where we choose his plans over ours? We have to go through his track record from the Bible, and we need to hear testimonies from people around us. And guess what? If you hear it enough, it will stir you up.
Because what is our motto? Faith comes by hearing.
Faith comes by hearing.
So keep on hearing.
God has a great track record of successful plans.
Mm-hmm.
Now, remember the story of the great flood?
Yes.
God had a plan for Noah, his wife, his sons, and their wives. He had a plan to save all the animals from complete destruction by having Noah build the ark.
Mm-hmm. And even the details of the ark were specific.
Yeah. Did God's plan work?
Yes.
Yes, of course it worked. And there's evidence of that boat on Mount Ararat in eastern Turkey today.
Wow.
In fact, they ran hundreds of scans as far back as 1959. And I won't go through all the different big companies that have come and done case studies out there. Even the History Channel has been out there. Everyone has been out there. They found via their scans the different levels of the ark, with compartments, plus one window. Doesn't
just like it says in the Word.
Yeah, mm-hmm. With one window. Watch this. Which would allow enough light to flood the inside of the ark.
It's amazing.
How awesome is that?
And so they had a spotlight.
Yeah. Via the scans, they also found out the measurements to be the exact measurements of the ark as recorded in the Bible. And they also found around 1,000 ruins of ancient dwellings not too far from the ruins of the ark.
Oh, wow.
Remember when they came out the ark?
Yes.
And then they started their family and they built an altar. Guess what? That altar is still there. They found the altar. And remember that image that I put in Telegram?
Yes.
Well, I'm going to get to that now. Those are called drogue stones. Okay? There are huge drogue stones which are not anchors, but they were not invented by Noah either.
Okay.
It was a common practice with people who had boats and ships. And they were very common, as I said, in the ancient world, and they were there to help keep the ships balanced during severe storms.
Wow.
So they would have them on either side of the ship to balance it out and to keep it stable at sea. These drogue stones, though, are bigger than usual because of the size of the Ark. The Ark was the biggest ship in that time.
Wow.
They have found smaller drogue stones in different parts of the world, like the coast of the Nile River and in the Mediterranean. Now, it's nice to have these kinds of biblical evidence today, but we don't need that in order to believe.
No.
God had a plan to start an entire nation from two people, and on top of it, one of them was barren. Did God's plan work?
Yes, it did not fail.
That nation today is known as Israel.
Yeah.
Moving on. God had a plan for Isaac when there was a famine in the land and everyone was headed for Egypt. He told Isaac that he would bless him in the land that he was in. Did God's plan work?
Absolutely.
That's right.
Without a doubt.
Watch this. Moving on. God had a plan to get Israel out of Egypt when, you know, they moved.
Yeah, yes.
And move them to the promised land. Part of his plan, now I love this, and I was actually laughing so much about this. Part of his plan was to send them a deliverer. He saved this baby boy who was given to Pharaoh's daughter to look after.
All of you remember Moses in the basket when he was a little baby.
That's it. Watch this. He was given to Pharaoh's daughter to look after, the very people giving the instruction
to kill the
to kill the Hebrew boys.
Yes.
Did God's plan work?
That speaks for itself.
Watch this. Now, this is the part I thought was hilarious. In Exodus chapter 2, verse 9, it tells of Pharaoh's daughter and the story goes, when Moses' parents saw that he was he was a fine-looking young boy, they said, no, they can't have this little baby killed,
yes.
You know. So they made a little basket, and they put pitch and tar in it, and then put it amongst the reeds. And so the area where the basket was floating, Pharaoh's daughter comes down with all her slaves, and she comes to bathe there. And so Pharaoh's daughter gets in and she sees this little baby and she says, oh, this is one of the Hebrew boys. So Moses' sister was hiding there. Okay. Now this, I just laughed at this. Moses' sister comes out and says, should I get one of the Hebrew ladies to help look after the baby? And so Pharaoh's daughter said, yes, go and call him. So she went and called her mama. So mama shows up and watch this. Pharaoh's daughter says, I want you to take this baby and I want you to nurse him and I'll pay you. Oh, man.
Pharaoh's, she got paid for nursing her own baby.
That is wild.
That was meant to have been killed.
That is wild. How does God do that?
Yes. That's why he says his ways are higher than our ways and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. We can't even comprehend how he pulls these things off.
Pharaoh's daughter was happy to pay. Watch this. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Thank you, Lord. You're so beautiful. The Lord just reminded me, and I was just running with thoughts with this. Watch this. And I could not stop laughing. Think this through. Think the whole story through. God got Pharaoh's daughter to pay Moses' mama to raise up a deliverer who would come back and ultimately be the cause of the destruction of Egypt. That's, man, that's wild. I could not stop laughing. I mean, that's dumb, man. Yes. You get caught. I mean, what if Pharaoh found out his own daughter?
Yes.
Was the cause of the ultimate destruction.
Wow.
Man, it's funny.
So God is actually quite sneaky as well.
Yeah.
Right under their noses.
He said, let's make this funny. Suggest that you'll pay for it. She goes, I'll pay for it. I'll pay for the destruction. Oh, thank you, Lord. He just reminded me of something else. I don't know if you've ever seen those commercials where they say, if only a company was telling the truth. And they run this advert and the guy says, sir, I'd hope that you would buy this pickup truck, which I've overcharged you for, just so that I could get rich and I cut a whole lot of corners on it. And the guy says, yes, no, that's absolutely fine. I mean, I took out a loan to get this car and it'll keep me in debt for many years. And the guy said, yes, the car will ultimately break down several times. You're going to need to take more loans out. They said, if only the companies were telling the truth.
Yes.
I thought to myself, man, if she had to only tell the truth and say, you know, I want to pay you so that you could raise this deliverer so that he could come back and ultimately destroy my daddy's entire empire. Okay. So what about the plan that God had for the children of Israel when they came up against the Red Sea? We're talking about years later.
Yes.
Here's the deliverer that Pharaoh's daughter paid for. She came. He got the children of Israel out of there, and they come up against the Red Sea. Can you see the situation play out in your mind?
Mm.
This is serious, folks. They couldn't go any further. They were pressed right up to the shoreline.
Yes.
They saw the Egyptians coming up against them. I can imagine a cloud of dust being left in their trail, the sounds of chariots and horses galloping at great speed, coming directly at them, carrying these angry Egyptian soldiers, who probably at this point are shouting out threats against them.
Mm-hmm.
Probably were. That's pretty intimidating.
Yeah.
There's no other way to go but the Red Sea behind you. But
God
has a plan.
Yes.
He tells Moses, lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide it. Oh, by the way, you can go and check this out in Exodus chapter 14, verse 15 and 16. And God actually says this. I love this because it actually helps us in our faith. So many people are running to God and crying to God for help, and God's waiting on us to do something,
yes,
right? Now watch this. God says this to Moses, why are you crying to me? That's what he says.
Yes.
He says, why are you crying to me? He says, just tell them to walk towards the sea.
Yes.
And he says, and then lift your hands and so forth, and it will part. Why
are
you crying to me?
Isn't that what the Christians are doing?
They're doing that. Watch this. But God had a plan, and it sounds crazy what he told Moses to do, but did God's plan work?
Yes.
Again.
Yes.
Again, we have evidence. We've got record in the Bible that it did work. And that thousands of years later, watch this, there's evidence of coral growing on what appears to be chariot wheels and axles all strewn across in a straight line at the bottom of the Red Sea bed.
Wow.
Leaving the idea they were chasing after them from one side to the other. Now, these shapes are not scattered across the seafloor with no order. It actually shows that it's lying in a straight line.
That's amazing.
Yeah, they were chasing after the children of Israel. Well, of course, you know, God allowed the water to come down and it crashed over them and the enemy died. God has a plan for your salvation.
Yes.
You are not some random number in the household of faith. You were chosen. He wanted you. He wanted you as his son. He wanted you as his daughter. Each of you have a unique story to tell.
Yes.
Now, let me tell you of the plan that God had for me. I gave you some testimonies from the old covenant, and
yes,
now
one for the new covenant.
Here's a new covenant testimony. Years ago, I was going through a bit of a struggle, and I was a sinner. I did not know Jesus. I knew of God, and I genuinely believed that He existed, but guess what? That's not enough. That doesn't get you into heaven.
Yeah.
You know you have to pray the prayer. And I didn't know all of that. So previous to that, now watch this. God has a plan. God has a plan. This is
a perfect plan.
Oh, man, this is so good. And so what happened was I eventually reached out to him because my aunt is a minister and most of the family is in ministry. And I just eventually went to God and I surrendered and I said, Lord, my aunt says, you know, that I must just ask you and then I must just leave it. And that's that. So the ball's in your court. So, okay. Now, previous to that, I was friends with a fella named Shane.
Mm-hmm.
And Shane and I were good friends in the world. We played basketball together. And we would play matches against other people and so forth. And we would always team up on the basketball court. We had a really good friendship. And there came time where he got involved in gangsterism and so forth. And he was listening to gangster rap. And he just went kind of from bad to worse. He just got really angry and so forth. Well, he said to me, he wants to go back to Durban. And we kind of left off on a bad note. Because I asked him, why would you want to go there? And it kind of sounds like you're going backwards, you know. And he took offense to that because he was elevating that. And so he just kind of swore and we just went our separate ways. And so about 3-4 years passed. Three and a half, four years, give or take. And I was with my then girlfriend at the time, and I told her about my buddy Shane. And I said, this guy, man, he was awesome and so forth. And man, I sure do miss him. Well, one day we decided to head up to St. George's Park. And by the way, Shane and I grew up in Lorraine, and both of us had moved by this time. And we had lost contact with each other. And so there was a cricket event taking place. And I was sitting in the pathway with my then girlfriend. And I was just watching the people come out of the stadium. The game had just finished. And anyone who knows St. George's Park, they've got multiple pathways.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big park. And so all of a sudden, she says to me, come on, let's go to 7-Eleven. Now, 7-Eleven was just across the road. I said to her, well, just wait a minute. We can go there now. And she started getting a little antsy. And she said, no, come on, let's go to 7-Eleven. I want a snack and that. I said to her, well, just wait a minute. You know, we can go now to 7-Eleven. She kept pushing. I thought, this is so weird. This is not her nature. She usually doesn't act like this. And eventually I said to her, you do know 7-Eleven's not going to pack up and leave.
Yeah.
If we're late.
They're open from 7 to 11.
It's in the afternoon. 7-Eleven is still going to be there. So, about 10 minutes later, this fella comes walking down the path and we're still a distance off, you know. And I looked over at him. And I thought, this cannot be. This is impossible. And I just, at the same time when I said that, I said, Shane? And he looked at me and he said, Trev, is that you? And we could not believe it, man. And so we came and we embraced and hugged each other. And I was like, man, Shane, you know, and he looked so clean. There was just something different about him. And his very first words to me were, hey, Trev, I'm serving Jesus now. Well, I'd never heard anyone talk like that before. And I stood back. And, you know, I've heard of people, there were people that tried to preach to me before. And Well, it just didn't work. But this guy, just the way he stood back and the confidence, and that is what set me off towards my salvation.
Mm-hmm.
God had That's a plan.
And can you see how the devil was trying to derail that plan? Because had your girlfriend at that time won and dragged you off to 7-Eleven, you would have missed
I would have missed that.
And that would have delayed your salvation.
That's right. And I was going to actually say that. You know,
I'm used to taking your words.
I did not know about the world of the spirit. I did not know what was going on behind the scenes.
Yes.
How the devils were contending for my soul to keep me lost, to keep me blind, using this girl. And she just, like I said, she just acted so strange, just pressing on me the whole time. We need to, you know, that's how the devil is. He presses on you all the time,
yes.
Presses on you.
That pressure on
that's you. How you know it's not God.
Because there's always peace where God is.
That's right. And the angels were ushering Shane to get him on the right path. Like I said, St. George's Park is filled with lots of different paths which lead in different places. He could have been on any one of those paths,
yes.
And we would have never known it, and we would have left.
But
God had a plan. Now watch this. Come to find out, Shane lived one neighborhood away from me. How amazing is that?
It is amazing.
Did God's plan work?
It worked.
Well,
I'm a testimony of that.
I got saved. It worked. God has a plan.
And had you not got saved,
yeah,
I wouldn't have got saved.
Now watch this. Like I said to you, each and every one of you have a unique story. God wanted you as his very own. You're special. You each have a story, a plan that he... It's a story to you.
Yes.
It's a story to me, but it was his plan.
Yes.
Now watch this. One more testimony. Years ago, my dad got a transfer to another town. We were born and raised in Port Elizabeth. Okay? And my dad got a transfer to open up a Telkom office on behalf of Telkom in the small town of Port Alfred. So off we went. And we only went for 9 months. Man, I hated it. I could not stand that little town. The people, I made good friends there. Make no mistake. And I had some male friends and some female friends. And one girl, her name was Marilyn. And Marilyn, she tried to drag me off to church. And so I thought the people at school didn't know where I lived, you know. And I was just chilling in the lounge, and we had the front door open and so forth. And I was just chatting with my folks, and the next second there's a knock on the door, and here's these two girls, Tracy and Marilyn. And I almost fell on because I was very comfortable, you know, very just laid back. And man, I took off. So my dad's like, "Oh, hello, girls, come in. I was like, "Dad!"
That's your parents inviting them all.
Yeah. And cut a long story short, they dragged me off to church. But now watch this. This is a religious church. This was not a born-again church. They did not know about Jesus and being born again and the move of the Spirit and so forth. So anyway, I went with them and I became good friends with them. And the day came when we had a school camp, and when we came back, my parents came to pick me up from school. And they had the best news that I had ever heard. Dad got transferred back to Port Elizabeth. Oh, I was so happy. I was so thrilled. I could not wait to go back to school and tell everyone, "Sorry, folks, I've got to leave this one-horse town." Not that there's anything wrong with Port Alfred.
Yeah.
It wasn't.
You weren't called to be
yeah,
there.
Yeah, it wasn't for me. But now watch this. God had a plan.
Mm-hmm.
I had to move to Port Alfred so that I could meet Marilyn, so that we could be friends. So I went back to school, told everyone that I'm moving back to Port Elizabeth. Marilyn thought I was joking. And I said to her, no, I'm serious. And she said, you're just saying that so that I can be sad. And I said to her, no, I'm not. I said, trust me, Monday's coming. You ain't going to see me here because I'm going back home. And cut a long story short, we moved. So I stayed in contact with a couple of them and so forth. And then Marilyn contacted me and she said, guess what? I'm moving to PE. So she came down to PE and we were friends and so forth, but we were still both sinners.
Mm.
And she had met this guy named Tony, and the two of them were doing great, had a great relationship and so forth. And then she said to me, well, Trevor, Tony and I, we're going to pack up and we're moving to the UK. So they moved. I said, have a nice trip. Enjoy yourself. That's awesome. I thought, my, who wants to go there? Anyway, so years later, I'm born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, on fire for the Lord. Hallelujah. And I'm praying in the Spirit every day. And one day, I'm praying in tongues, and I'm praying, and you know, interpretation is coming, and I'm saying, Marilyn, 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 and I'm like, whoa. And I stop. I said, Lord, I do need to inform you that Marilyn is not living in Port Elizabeth anymore. In fact, she's not even living in South Africa. About 5 years ago, she moved to the United Kingdom.
As if you needed to tell him that.
Yeah. I was just, you know, I was learning how ignorant I was. So I carry on praying in tongues. Marilyn, I can't speak in tongues. I'm saying her name the whole time. I said, Lord, what is this? I said, you want me to pray for Marilyn? What? Well, my buddy Robert came around. He's also born again. Get yourself hooked up with Christians.
Yes.
Don't hang out with the world. That's not going to do you any good.
They got nothing to offer you.
Get around born again believers. Bless yourself by doing that. God said to Abraham, go for yourself to a land that I will show you. Watch this. Do this for yourself, man. Get yourself around some good, strong, Holy Ghost Christians. Mm. Well, Robert comes around. I tell him. I said, Rob, you know, I knew this girl years ago. We went to high school together and praying in tongues, and the Lord got me saying her name, and I can't speak in tongues anymore. Her name just keeps coming out my mouth. And he looked at me and he said, Marilyn, I'm just going to,
yes,
you know, her last name. And I looked at him bug-eyed and I said, yeah. He said, oh, she's living here in PE. I said, no, that's impossible. She moved to the UK. I said, how do you know her? He said, we went to the same high school together. When she moved back to PE, she finished off school at Alex. I said, she did? I said, she's here. He says, yeah, she's been here now for about 2 years. I said, you're kidding me. He said, this is very interesting. He says, man, we got to get on this. So out the door he went. Next day, he comes back to me. Knocks on the door. I open up. Sticks his hands out and puts a piece of paper in my hand. I take it. It's Marilyn's cell phone number. I was like, you got to be kidding me. There's no way. I phone up Marilyn. Hey, is this Marilyn? Yes. Who's this? I said, Marilyn, this is Trevor. What? Trevor Van Vieren? I said, yeah. She said, where have you been and how did you get my number? I said, Robert. She goes, you know Robert? I said, yeah, I know Robert. Wow, what is this? So I said, well, I'm about to, this might sound a little freaky. I said, I got born again. I'm a Christian now. She said, okay. And I went and I explained the whole thing. I told her about tongues and I was busy praying in the Spirit. And I said, I thought you were in the UK. And I said, yeah, God got Robert. And Robert tells me, you in P. I said, I never knew that. She said, man, that is the miracle. I never knew that. She said, that is a miracle. I said to her, okay, do you want to meet up? Yeah, I want to meet up. So we met up and I preached to her the gospel. She loved it. And I said to her, I'm not forcing you anything. I said, you can do what you want with that message. If you want to pray the prayer and you want to get saved, let me know. I said, I'll be in touch. She said, I don't need to think about it. She said, I want to pray the prayer. She said, this is wild. this is just crazy.
Okay, but how many of the salvations that you've dealt with were boring?
Yeah, no, they were all extravagant. That's God.
Yes.
See, and that's God. And so we prayed that prayer right there, and she got born again. And guess what? From there, she moved to Johannesburg.
You see, she was only there for such a time as that.
Yeah. But God had a plan, and did it work?
Oh, yes.
It worked. You see, years ago, part of his plan was to get me in Port Alfred. Mm. I just needed to be there 9 months, just long enough to make friends.
Yes.
And then move me back to PE until Shane would get born again and come back to PE and get me saved.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, God would lead me and pray, get me hooked up with Robert.
Mm-hmm.
See, Robert needed to go to the same high school as
yes.
Merwin so that he could know her, so that when he comes on the day that I prayed, Merwin, 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 I could tell him and he could say, hey, I know that girl. And the whole thing comes together and she got born again. God has a plan. He has a plan for your life.
And it's a good plan.
Oh, yeah. Now, my question to you is, what has God got planned for you?
Mm.
And on that note, we're going to have to end this message.
Yeah.
I hope you guys enjoyed it. And remember, as always, faith comes by hearing.
So keep on hearing.
Hey, everyone. If you enjoyed today's podcast, feel free to let us know by contacting us via our Telegram channel, Trevor Van Vieren Ministries, or send us a message on our Facebook account. And if you liked what our ministry is doing, why not partner up with us and sow into God's vision, which is to bring a printed copy of our newspaper to every house in our city. All funds are used to increase the print run and reach more houses with the good news of Jesus Christ. You can sow via our website at www.thedailywitness.co.za. There you will find a tab called Sow Into a Vision. If you are inside of South Africa, you can use the option of SnapScan. You can download this app free of charge from Play Store or iTunes. If you are outside of South Africa, you can use our option of Give and Gain. We thank you for your faith and generous support. Remember, we love you and Jesus loves you.